Hey, it's JMS. I am so excited for you to check out this episode. And if you are in Cincinnati, I will be there February 7th and 8th. I'm doing two shows, technically in Dayton, Kentucky. I will be giving 10% of the show to a local charity called Women Helping Women. And if you're in Wrightwood, California on Valentine's Day, or if you're looking for something to do on Valentine's Day and are interested in a cute little mountain escape, I'm doing a Valentine's Day show at the Speakeasy at Wrightwood B&B. And those are my road shows for the time being. I am otherwise in LA or perhaps in other cities while I edit and promote and get ready to release my very first hour special. So I will see you out on the road. Thank you for listening. Enjoy this episode.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought?
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Oh my gosh, I just realized you got all this. Joan Rivers is so freaking awesome.
She's the best.
She is one of the best comics of all time.
I mean, she really is. I'm going to clap us in.
You stupid asshole. When that guy was like, my son is blind. And then she was like, I don't care. My father was blind, you dumb asshole.
You guys, wait.
Are we recording?
We're recording now. We're live with Joan Rivers.
You stupid asshole. Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, so, I haven't seen. I mean, I probably saw this in like 2012, but I don't remember it. And somehow it's so much funnier right now. No, coming out of your mustache face.
Yeah, my mustache, right? I just be a Joan Rivers impersonator with the mustache. It's like, yeah, that guy that has the creepy Jeffrey Epstein flightless mustache.
Pedophile Rivers?
Yeah, Pedophile. That's your name? You're a Vegas impersonation? Do you ever go see Pedophile Rivers?
You guys, this is crazy. We got front row seats to Pedophile Rivers. Pedophile you blow up. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, you stupid ass. It's like it's Pedophile Rivers.
Yeah. It's just you in a terrible blonde wig.
Yeah, and just with your mustache. You're like, there's no business like show business. You like kick up your leg. No, there's a Joan Rivers video though to where I think she's talking about blind people. I don't remember.
Of course.
But there's a guy who stands up. He's like, my son is blind. And then he's like, how dare you? And she goes, my father was blind, you stupid asshole. Get out of here. And like, she just snaps on this heckler. And then he just walks out of the theater and everyone starts applauding.
That's so funny.
It's probably, I can't remember whether it's blindness or his son was missing a leg. Or yeah. But she was like, you stupid asshole.
Was it suicide?
What?
Was it suicide?
I don't think so.
Her husband killed himself.
Really?
Yeah.
She's
almost laughing. Like,
but she's probably a nightmare.
I know,
she's like, why is the dishes in the sink?
Like, it was her fault.
Yeah, finally he's just like
some piece.
She just chipped away. I feel like Joan Rivers probably just chipped away at her husband.
Oh.
They just roller skated off of a rooftop.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Goodbye, cruel world, and then just skates off of a roof.
You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. It's so funny.
Okay, wait. You guys, this is Matt Jones.
This is Jessica Michelle Singleton.
I haven't had you on the podcast before, have I?
I don't think so. We've been talking about doing it for 4 years.
Yeah.
Which is so easy to do in LA. It's so easy to be like, talk about getting lunch.
I hate it. But like you're right. Years. Like it's,
you know,
with people I want to see.
I know. Same. You're one of my favorite people in LA. And like, you make me laugh so much. And we always have fun when we hang out.
I don't laugh at all when you're around.
You do. Sometimes. It's fake laugh. She's doing the
I've not been crying for the entire beginning of the episode from laughing. No, it's fake.
Yeah, we probably go like 6 months without seeing each other. Maybe like 4 months, 5 months, maybe a year. I don't know.
I know. It's crazy. Just giant gaps and we jump back in.
I know. And there's no seasons in LA.
No. You can't keep track of.
I'll see you. Are we still going to get that lunch? It's like we've been trying since 2010.
Yeah, it's like it's been decades. Someday we'll have lunch together.
That's why nobody, I used to do a stand-up bit about that, how nobody in LA grows up because we don't have seasons. So like there's no winters to show you how old you're getting.
Oh my God.
That's why there's like women with like tramp stance of like a Model T Ford. And they're like, I'm still waiting to get my co-star on the Andy Griffith Show.
I'm going to be somebody.
I'm going to be somebody. Still trying to get my under five.
You know, when I was your age, cigarettes were considered a healthy choice.
Yeah, my doctor used to ash when he would do open heart surgery on me.
I loved it.
It's so funny because those people do exist.
I've played a corpse 5 times on NCIS. Yeah. Yeah.
What's an Instagram account?
Do they exist? Because
Instagram?
No. Oh. Okay, I don't know if you've had this experience. I didn't realize how little I see old people in this city. Or people who really look old. Yeah.
They're all Armenian. Like, they're all immigrants. When I used to drive Uber, I'd, like, pick them up. They'd be like, like speaking in another language. And it was
old,
like,
white people are just sent out to sea.
Yeah, they're like, I think they just want to come to LA because it's like
Hollywood. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just like the first thing they can see on a map. California's huge.
I feel bad for anyone who is like, I finally made it to America, and they think this is as good as it gets, and they're trapped here paying so much money, and they're like, America! And it's like, you could go one state over and we probably have way more money. What do you?
I want to leave LA now.
It's golden handcuffs. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's a lot of good things. I'm not going to leave, but I want to. I just silently brood.
I honestly, if I didn't have the Comedy Store, I might try somewhere else.
Would you go to Austin?
I know people have a lot of feelings about it, but yeah, I think I might. I would go to Austin or New York, but I might go to Austin because I've been down there once since the new club opened, and there was already a scene in Austin. Austin, and that's what I think a lot of people don't realize is... people outside of comedy are like, Joe Rogan brought comedy to Austin. He's objectively brought a big club there, and there is like more conversation around comedy, but there was already like a pretty bustling scene, but it's just way bigger now. And I was there for a week last February, and the amount of stage time I was able to get, I was like, oh, I'm it's great. Because it's also like I mean, I don't want to say this, the ceiling is lower, so like there's like a huge gap between who's brand new and who's like really good, but there's like not that many really good people.
There's not that many good comics.
No, I mean, because there's a lot of people who probably have promise and potential, but in terms of experience and being like developed as a comedian and like someone you could book to headline a room in a pinch, you know what I mean? Where I feel like those can be a little bit of a dime a dozen here, and especially in New York. There it's like you're a little more coveted. So
definitely
spots aplenty. I felt like a god.
If you're good, they just make a golden calf of you and start worshiping it because it's like there's nobody there that's
well
that,
and especially if you're
I don't know, I'm asking.
Yeah, it's like there's the
spend enough time there.
There's the handful of people who've moved down.
There's
there
a lot of really funny people like Derek Poston. I know
he's so
there,
funny.
Asan
so funny. Yeah, it's like
I don't know who else is there.
No
David
one.
Well, David's hilarious.
Oh, David Lucas.
I love David.
Is he
Lucas
down there?
He's so funny. He was one of my you were one of my first friends in LA, and so was David Lucas.
Oh.
And he always be like, he always say stuff be like, why are your head shaped like that?
Like, I mean, he was just always bullying us, and we're like, we love you, David.
Yeah, he's so funny though. He'd be like, I remember like we were driving in the car one time, we were by Hollywood Bowl, and he goes, you look like Carl Winslow. And then the guy turned around and looked at me. He goes, your head is shaped like an alien. And that is like
his it's just a
goes,
random
that's
man.
Rude. He goes, that's rude. And then he'd like, David would just like say stuff to people that's like so crazy.
That's so fun. It's so yeah, he fun. Used to, didn't he, did he live with you for a little while?
Yeah,
in Koreatown, and he'd throw fruit off the roof at the parking lot.
Oh,
people.
No, we lived in the same building.
Oh, that's
we
right. Because I was like, how did he live with you?
He did live with me for a while. I remember I convinced him to take a telemarketing job, and I was like, there's so much money in this. And he lost everything. He lost his apartment when he took the telemarketing
lost his
job.
Girlfriend. He lost his
I
life.
Think he did, actually. I can't remember.
There's so much money in this.
But I was like telling him, I was like, this is a really, really great thing. And then I remember he lost his apartment because I was like, the money like just stopped coming in as soon as he started working there. So I felt bad. So he was like living in my living room for a while.
You're like, I got you the job and it paid nothing. So now I have to let you live with me.
Well, he was one of my best friends, too. But it's like, it's I mean, he was like throwing some money, you know.
At least he didn't take up a lot of space.
Yeah, no, not at all. Well, it was a one bedroom, which like still is like the biggest apartment that I've had. Like I'm like a one bedroom.
Oh, well, nowadays it's like
a studio in Hollywood, and I still pay $1,200, and it's like
You're paying $1,200 for a studio?
Yeah,
but you have to hold on for dear life.
Right, but
I hate that that's a deal.
It's a gross studio, too. It's $1,200 for a gross studio.
Is there air conditioning?
No. No. I just have like 60. It's like a telemarketing office. I have like 16 box fans.
What's with you in telemarketing?
I don't know. It follows me everywhere I go.
I feel more at home if I have a cubicle. You're sleeping in a cubicle?
Yeah, you're trying to like get yourself booked on the road, and then you just put on like a headset, and you're like, boy, have I got an offer for you.
I listen to binaural beats, but you only have that one ear headpiece, so it's only coming in one side.
I used to listen to binaural beats.
Did you? Do you still do that? I mean, you're the one who told me about them, and at the time, I was like, Matt's getting into his weird spiritual stuff. But I like started doing it.
And I went on stage and just talked really slow. And I think the audience thought I was drunk because I was listening to binaural beats. I don't listen to it anymore.
No? Yeah. What was the... No. Why? What made you stop?
I think I got addicted to self-help. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but like when I first moved here, I saved up a bunch of... Because I was a greeter at the hospital in Southern Illinois.
You're a greeter? Saddest job. Yeah,
there were like people that would come in, and I had like a line of wheelchairs, and I would just go, and I had a vest that said, "How may I help you?" I was like 19. I did it when I was 19, and then I did it again when I was 23 before I moved to LA.
They probably loved you, but what a sad job.
It was a super sad job. Like, I like get people in, and then they've got like the bobblehead thing going on. I'm like, "Do you want a wheelchair?" And they're like, You know, and
you're
I'm
like, this
go
is the end.
Yeah, I'm like,
goodbye, we're bringing you upstairs.
It's like weird to know that you can cough on someone and kill them.
That's so much pressure.
Like you sneeze and you break their bones.
Their neck snaps while you're pushing. We lost another one.
Manslaughter. It's like you got 25 to life. It's like, what'd you do? It's like I sneezed on Eleanor.
I sneezed on a senior citizen.
Their heart caved in.
Just turned to dust immediately. and back from whence they came, it's just smelly cigarette ashes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was a funny job. So anyways, I saved up money
to move for the big move
for about 6 months. Yeah, and then I moved here and I didn't have a job. So what I would do, because when I was in Chicago, I used to drink a lot. And
remember these stories?
Yeah, I used to drink a ton. I drink in the shower.
Were you sober by the time you got here?
For the most part, yeah. And I do 12-step programs, but I'm not an alcoholic. Like, I probably have like 5 drinks a year. Like,
okay.
So I can have, but I did have a drinking problem.
At the time.
And so, but I would, I had just really bad anxiety. So I would drink in the shower before going to my acting classes because I majored in theater, which was a dumb major.
You know, at least it was a good investment.
Yeah,
it was
a great investment.
At least any casting director has ever been like, Do you have a degree?
Do you have a degree in theater?
Isn't that fucking upsetting?
It's very, it's
They should be like.
It's to appease your Midwestern parents and be like, you got a degree?
And you're it's like, I never wanted to do this.
And there was a guy, one of my acting teachers, he had like a crooked wig. His name was Dale, and he was always like, he was like this fat,
an acting teacher
fat gay guy named Dale.
Dale? And you were like, this isn't going to.
Fat gay
this
guy.
This isn't going to lead to success.
Yeah, a fat gay guy named Dale, and his wig was always crooked. And this was Columbia College. Like, it was a good
in Chicago. Right? My boyfriend went there for 1 year for entertainment.
I think I talked to him about that.
Management. Yeah, yeah. But then he drank too much, and he's like, I got to switch
Something
schools.
Something about Chicago makes you drink.
Yeah.
But his wig was crooked, and then he was always talking. He's like, I was in the original production of Hairspray. And like, he would just talk about himself the whole period. So anyways, I saved up a bunch of money. I would drink before classes and all that. I stopped drinking when I came to L.A., and I got addicted to self-help. That became the next thing. So I would hypnotize myself for about 3 hours a day. Literally, I would download hypnosis recordings, and I would hypnotize myself. And you know this is true because I tried to get you to do it, remember?
I know. I do remember.
I burnt you like 40 CDs of like hypnosis.
And I was like, I'm going to do it. I started listening to one, and I was like, Matt needs help. Yeah. Did I help you? No, I just quietly tucked them away.
Yeah. You just quietly burned them.
I was like, I was like, he's really dedicated.
Yeah, well, I wanted so bad to be a great comic, and I had anxiety, which is why I drank. So I would hypnotize myself for like 3 hours. I would do Tony Robbins stuff, and then I would do cognitive behavioral therapy. And I would do probably like 6 hours of self-help a day. And then I would go out at open mics at night,
And ruin it all.
Exactly. But I would smash because all day long I'm like pumping myself up.
Yeah, that you're getting like, you would murder.
Yeah, I was getting delusional confidence, but I had to do it like 6 hours a day.
Just to get enough confidence to go out?
To go do it, but I would smash.
You would.
And so
it works. I got
addicted to self-help, but it's like at what cost? You can't be successful and do that all day.
Yeah, no,
eventually you're going to have to go work.
Yeah, you have to have money. Yeah,
you have to have money. And so,
unless you have a fucking trust fund or something, but it's like,
yeah. And so I got more into like the 12 step route eventually and that kind of thing. Cause I just realized
self-help for hobos.
Yeah. So yeah.
They let anyone into those.
They do let anybody into those.
Hey, the only requirement for membership here is you want to be here. Really? I mean, they'll say it's something else, but they're not going to kick you.
No, they're not going to kick you out and be like,
I've seen people in blackouts at AA meetings. It's a zoo.
Are you an AA?
No, but I, used to get dragged to them by my mom.
Your mom would take you?
She was in AA. And
oh,
she would bring
me
as a kid.
She was like, we're going to go on a field trip.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like an intervention. I probably could be in like adult children's of alcohol. I've tried to go to like Al-Anon and ACA, but I like. And
some of them are a little weepy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're kind of like, you pussy.
Yeah. And I know that probably there's a part of me and like when I go, what a pussy, this fucking baby, whatever. That's probably something that deeply actually needs healing that like that's like a wall. But yeah. I went to a couple and I was like, what, were we just living in our sadness? Just that your entire existence is my dad drank. It's like,
yeah,
get
80,
over it. The man has been dead for years. Move on.
100%. You know what I think works?
But some people need the community.
Steps. It's
okay.
The steps.
Really?
The steps are what work. The 12 steps. Meetings are dope. I like going to them. I will go to them, but the steps is like what works. Cause like after, and the other thing too that I didn't like about 12 step, and I'm still in 12 step, I'm in like three of them.
Are you willing to say which ones?
I'm not supposed to.
Oh, okay. Because, I didn't know. I don't know what the rules are. Then don't.
The rules
yeah.
It's like at the level of press, radio, and films. I'll give you a hint though. I did one for money.
What, the guy who spent 6 hours a day doing self-help tapes needed help with and ran his friend into the ground financially?
Needed help with money?
I can't believe the telemarketing guy is struggling with money? I'm sorry.
So one for money, and then the other one.
Two for the show.
Two for the show. The other one was like relationship
okay.
type stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like acting out in that
yeah, yeah.
way and stuff. So. Those were mainly the addiction.
Those are kind of your things, yeah.
Those were my things, but it kind of just like sort of leveled me out. And then
it was
just
a triple threat.
Just therapy, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean? Like therapy works, but it's like.
You like the steps though.
Yeah, and I'm a big God guy, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like
he loves God, you guys.
Yeah, I really do.
His God is an awesome God.
Yeah, his God is an awesome God.
You make me want to be more religious.
Do I really?
Yeah, I'm like, man, he just loves him.
Yeah, I really do love Jesus. And it's so funny, too, because, like, I've done a lot of hypocritical stuff, too. And I remember I was like,
who hasn't?
But I remember, like, Buddy, were you with us when it was me, you, Buddy Hutton, a few other people. We somehow ended up at an ABC rap party for ABC Family. This was, like, 2010 after we did a show at Garfano's.
I don't think was it like a Christmas party?
It was a Christmas party, yeah.
With Christmas sweaters and there was people like hanging out the windows, wasn't there? Didn't someone yell out a window?
I think so. All I remember is there was eggnog and I just started drinking it. Before I knew it, I was like blacked out. And I remember there was this other comic and she had her shirt off and I had my shirt off and we were like walking around. Like, and I don't remember what we were doing.
You were just shirtless like, walking around at an ABC rap party.
I think we were literally just walking around, like just like, and it was an ABC rap party. And I remember all the dudes who were actors on the show were like hitting on me. I was like, is everybody gay here?
Yeah, it's Hollywood.
And Buddy told me that like I went into his closet, like I went into like his closet and put on his big coat and it was like floppy and I like walked down. I'm like, you don't think Jesus is mad at me, do you? And like, I was just wasted drunk, you know?
Oh my God, that's
yeah, it's so crazy.
I mean, that's so funny. God, I haven't seen
so
Buddy
many funny
in
stories that we have together.
I mean, so many. Give me just a second because I want to
no,
pause
good.
This and make sure I'm doing it right.
Yeah. No.
Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad, which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it, crunchy wontons, Asian slaw, citrus vinaigrette, Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Zenzation Salad, only at Zaxby's.
Let go and let God.
Let go and let God.
LG&G. Oh, wait. Let go and let God.
Let go and let God. LG&G.
LG squared. Okay, I don't know where we left off or what
I'm
doing.
I am staring at that box that says Fred McGriff.
Bobblehead, like, it's signed, yeah.
Who is Fred McGriff?
That Fred
like
McGriff?
Such a funny made up name.
Scruff McGruff? It's Crime Dog, man. He's the greatest baseball player of all time.
Oh, I thought he did the voice for Scruff McGruff.
Oh, no. Actually, I don't know
It sounds very appropriate. Who does
they called him Crime Dog, and to be honest, I now realize I don't actually know if he and Scruff McGruff have anything to do with each other. I just have always lumped them together because his last name's McGriff, and I just realized that. Can someone tell
Fred
me?
Fred McGriff. That sounds like a lie you would, like, if you did go to a 12-step and you didn't want them to know your real name. It's like,
I'm Fred McGriff.
I'm Fred McGriff. Just telling stories about how you beat your wife.
He's a Hall of Fame baseball player.
That's so funny. I don't know anything about baseball.
You failure to American society.
I know. I am no American.
Wait, I cut us
I
off.
I used to be.
Well, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. So
you used to be. Go. Just go.
I used to be somebody, damn it.
Wait, now I'm afraid I didn't start the camera. Hold on.
No.
Okay, we're fine. Keep talking.
Okay, cool. Remember when every white guy did that in the early 90s, whenever they would just, like, flip the camera off?
Oh, yeah. And then I remember my brother getting real technical about, like, it's not the middle finger, my thumb's out. And it's like, shut up.
What's so funny is, did you cuss when you were a kid?
Oh, I got, yeah. I, behind my parents' back, I was shit, fuck.
Did you guys sit in a circle at school? I remember, like, there was, because I grew up in, like, a southern area, and, like, boys so would just sit in a circle
and light a cross on fire.
We did that too, but that was okay.
That's the weekend. That's not at school.
That's the weekend. That's not at school.
Yeah that's just, Boy Scouts.
That's extracurricular activities. You know what I mean?
Extracurricular activities.
Our baseball coach would do that to the team next door. You know what I mean?
Got to intimidate him, kids. It's it's a t-ball team. He's just out of control.
It's like, man, these boys mean business.
Deranged racist Indiana coach.
Yeah, they're like in fourth grade. Coaches, I got a little bit of a coach's mustache, but it's like thin. Like they have like the Little League coach mustache. It's like looks like they stapled a carpet to their upper
lip. Yeah, that thick ass, like just I don't even know what they're trying to hide there.
Probably just
they grow up big enough so their wives can't see their lip shaking because they're about to cry at all times. Yeah, like they can't fucking stand it anymore.
Our Little League, we had a Little League coach that was kind of like that. He would ground his son when his son didn't do well on Little League.
Oh,
and I remember he screamed from across the field. He goes, because he missed a grounder that was hit to him. He goes, "You're ground."
That kid's so fucked up now.
Probably.
That's the person I saw in ACA.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. He's
he yelled at me. Yeah, yeah, well, walk it off.
Yeah, walk it off. Grow up. It's like, who what Little League coach didn't beat their kid?
Yeah, it's did you want to win or not?
He would use, like, Navy SEAL signals, too, to, like, tell us what to do. Like, I remember he was trying to tell me to bunt. He was like...
he, like, didn't tell you like, what the signals were.
I was, like, you're nine, like... maybe. And he was like... And then, like, I swang at the ball. And then he's like, no!
You're grounded. He he's like, grounds other people's kids.
Yeah, he grounds other people's kids. And it's like, I better not see you out on the weekend. And he tells your parents, you know?
He's grounded. And then he grounds your parents.
Right. It's like, dude, it's not our fault that your wife won't sleep with you. You know what
he's
I mean?
Just,
like,
this
you don't
is,
have to take it out on 8-year-olds.
This is all he has.
So crazy. So crazy. Like, but what were we talking about? I feel like we had...
Oh,
we
man. We were on
something.
A roll. We were talking about... We were talking about... Oh, you were talking
oh,
about the steps...
Self-help.
You feel like steps work. I feel like that's what's always drawn me into, like, I'll check out a 12-step program because the idea of a system feels like it's like, oh, there's things you
good.
Go through.
Yeah.
That seems like you're doing work. And to me, I think maybe it's the workaholic in me. Went to a Workaholics Anonymous meeting
I
once.
Went to one of those too.
Yeah, and at the end they're like, keep coming back, it works if you're working. I'm like, obviously not. This isn't, we know what?
Yeah. Yeah, Workaholics Anonymous, I went to one. I could honestly probably qualify for almost all of them.
Oh, I mean.
Easily, because I just have an addictive brain.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. There's people who just, well, that's so much of addiction is like, do you ever, I make a joke about this in my act, but like, do you quit being addicted to things? You just transfer your addiction
to
something
the
else.
Addiction. You do. And so with like 12 step, the idea is, speaking of God, is that the only thing that can actually help you is something greater than yourself.
Yeah.
That's like the whole model. But the thing is like when that you do break down the steps, they actually do work. Well, they worked for me.
Did you get through all 12?
I got through all 12.
And then you quit going?
No, I still go. I still go to the money thing, but I do the Zoom.
So do they work?
I do it on the Zoom thing, though. I mean, I don't think, I think that it works provided it's a system.
Yeah.
That works for.
And you find three people to get in.
Yeah, you have to find three people. It's a pyramid scheme. Yeah, which
I have 12 sponsees.
I'm so susceptible to that kind of bullshit. Like, there is.
How you haven't been in any of the cult documentaries?
I don't know. Because there's people from my church that were telling me about something called a Healy, which is like a device that shoots energy into your body. And I was like, I want one. Like, I just automatically be like, I need it. You know, it's very easy when you have that addictive thing because you're like, this is the thing that's going to fix me. Look for anything outside of God. You're like, this is the thing.
You're looking for that quick fix. That's something just what's going to take care of it.
Yeah. And it's like the whole idea of fixing is even a myth, too.
Because well, yeah, it's like it's never going to be done. You're never like
you're never going to fix yourself.
I'm healed. And I remember when I realized that and my initial reaction was just so much anger that like I'm like,
I can't be fixed.
There's not an amount of work I can do where I just go. We're repaired now. It's like, oh, it's a constant process? Fuck.
Yeah, you want it. Like, I used to think, because I listened to Tony Robbins so much. I used to love
You got
to
get in the sauna and then get in the... Every morning I get in my cold plunge. I don't know what he sounds like. I spend 45 minutes in ice cold water. And then I get out and I wrestle a bear to the ground.
Yeah, and it's like
you're like, it works.
I talked to this girl who was like, yeah, he's real weird. She's like, I used to work for him. And then I was like, is he cool? And she goes, yeah, he's cool, but he's just spent like 40 something years unlocking the potential in his head, and he finally did. And it's like, that's what Tony Robbins is, what happens.
Yeah,
like he walks across fire in his
yeah, like you see that and you go, do I want to be self-actualized?
Well, and then they said, like, in one of his seminars, he was, like, trying to show people that, like, mind over matter, that if they put their mind in a certain state, they could walk across coals. But so he made the coals, like, 3 times hotter than he normally does. They had to go to the emergency room. Like,
it's because your mind wasn't strong enough. You signed the waiver. There's nothing you could do.
Imagine
he starts selling shoes made of ice.
Imagine if Tony Robbins killed your kid.
I mean, how like embarrassing if your kid died in a self-help seminar.
He walked across the coals and falls on like, and then like just burns his face.
Yeah, and that's Darwinism. That's only the strong survive.
Only Tony Robbins and the strong.
He's just doing eugenics, but with a positivity spin.
With a positivity spin on it, 100%. So, yeah, I think self-help is addicting.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like all comics kind of have that escape. Not all, but like a lot. Like,
so many of us.
Like a lot of comics have problems with drinking, like drugs, alcohol.
Whatever. We're trying to escape. We're
trying to escape something. So do you think that you have to be like a little screwed up? I'm not even going to say to be a comic, to be funny. Because I feel like it's kind of generic to be like, all comics are sad and suffering.
But it's like, everyone's just like, you don't get the darkness.
Yeah, the darkness that we go through. And it's like, you're like, dude, just shut up. Stop trying to make yourself sound like a Marvel, like a Marvel Legends character or whatever.
You know? Right? It's like, you're a clown.
Yeah, you are.
You're a clown with a pill problem.
You go on stage with baggy pants and talk about your dick.
You like, stink.
You smell bad.
Yeah. You're hard to be near.
What do you... And then it's like, I've just been through so much.
I think...
But to be funny, do
you think you to be... I think to be hilarious, you have to have some... I don't even want to say like trauma. You just have to be... maybe not. Fucked up isn't the right thing. I just think
you have to have trauma. I think.
I think you gotta have something. Oh, but I'm going like, well, who fingered Robin Williams? You know. And welcome back to our murder mystery podcast. Who fingered Robin Williams?
Ooh, yeah, and be like, when Robin was a boy,
he was just so funny from the beginning. Somebody must have touched him.
Yeah, probably.
Touched by a man named Angel.
Instead of touched by, touched by a man named Angel.
Touched by an angel.
With a teardrop.
It was his uncle. He was a he was in a gang.
On vacation in Van Nuys, and a guy in a hydraulics, like a cholo, just an angel.
I just think that there has to be, because I think. I could be wrong here philosophizing about comedy, but like, I think what comes with a certain level of trauma, or like the funny that comes from trauma, is oftentimes it's a survival skill. Uh-huh. Like, you're keeping the peace by being funny. You're, you know, people who came from being bullied, they like turn it around. But also there's something maybe to like really good comedy. You have to not give a fuck in a certain, like, I don't give a fuck. But like, there is an audacity to stand up where, like, it, you know, so much of it is like saying the things people are thinking, but nobody wants 100%. To say. And I think
acting on your intrusive thoughts in a way.
Yeah. And saying those out loud, the things that people, I think people without trauma have a filter that they go, oh, you can't say that. That's just not polite. But I think some of what, I don't want to say you need to have it, but I think what helps a lot of comedians be able to reach that point is you have so many things go wrong that you're like, well, I said the right thing and it still went wrong. So fuck you. Here's what I actually think.
Here's what I actually think.
Yeah.
And that's so liberating. And that's actually, I think the thing that makes you want to become a comedian, you have to get over to be a great comedian. So like, insecurity makes you want to be a comedian, but to be a great comedian, you have to get over that insecurity.
You have to stop worrying about like, about what are they going to think of this, or what are they going to spin this to say? Cause I went through a couple years where when things got really cancel culturally, like I look back and there were definitely like, I pulled back.
Yeah, I did too.
And it was less about wanting to be canceled, but it was like this mind fuck of like, well, I was never doing this to hurt anyone. And I don't want to be framed as someone. I don't want someone to take one thing out of context. So I definitely had a brief period of time where I can tell that I was censored or scared of saying the thing. And I'm like,
same.
Finally coming out of that. Thank fucking God.
It made me angry, though, too. My comedy for a short time became like angry.
Well, yeah, because so much of it was like, so much was fake.
It was self-imposed on me, but like, it was, yeah, it was just fake virtue.
Yeah, it was censorship under, disguised as being a good person.
So being a good person. Yeah, it was kind of like the way religious people were in the 90s. Remember how like people would like,
oh, bless your heart.
Like they would like protest Marilyn Manson and stuff like that. Those people became that thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, when people are talking about how like religion causes all these problems in the world, it's like, no, it doesn't. There's just an innate thing that makes some people like be tribal. Tribalism.
Yeah.
Like, you can get rid of all the religion in the world if you want.
And there's still going to be people who try to who make an us versus them. Here's why I'm right, you're wrong. And people who can't, I can't spend time with people who won't allow themselves to venture into the gray area.
Right, totally. And it's like the whole like political landscape kind of, I feel like that's changing now. I feel like people are kind of starting to swing back to like sanity. But it was either like, you're either far right or you're far left. And it's like, no, most people are not those things.
Yeah.
Most people are somewhere in the middle. But I could feel myself, because like, I've always been into like natural health. So
yeah.
I wore masks all through the pandemic, but I remember there was a point to where I started to feel like I got bit by Kid Rock. Like, I was going to be one of those people who's like, I ain't wearing no mask. And they're like holding you down to the ground. You know what I mean? And you're like screaming and like fighting. You're like, you're trying to take away my freedoms. Like, I could feel myself getting pushed to the right a little bit, to where I'd be like, guns are a basic human right.
Well, I mean, especially in because LA, it was like,
yeah, because it was just so extreme to where I was like, shut up. Leave me alone. Stop telling me what to think.
Well, yeah. And it's like, how is this about freedom? I mean, I remember that too, because like when they reopened the restaurants and it was like, you have to wear a mask when you walk to the bathroom, but at your table, you can, it's just like, okay, so we're lying.
What the musical chairs are we doing?
Like, this is so duck and cover in that South Park episode with the fucking volcano. Like, you're out of your fucking mind.
So dumb. And then like, after a while, I was like one of those people that was like, because I've always tried to be in a natural health. I mean,
well, there's so much about natural health that Western medicine just isn't taught and doesn't give a fuck about.
Like, I take Propecia so my hair doesn't fall. I've been taking it for.
I take Propecia because my dick's too hard.
Yeah, all the time.
I've never had a problem with my hair, but my dick.
It won't go away.
It just won't let up.
Yeah, it won't let up. You know what I mean? And people are like, why do you have an erection at with a DMV? I forgot, like, what are the three words? Why are you hard at the DMV, sir? You're like,
I can't wait to wait.
Yeah, it's like, I can't wait to get my picture taken.
Oh. I'm going to look so good. Yeah. I get my driver's license renewed every month.
If you had a disease that you just always had boner. You're like at a funeral, like going and everybody's grieving. You're walking by, you're like, that guy has an erection while he's saying his
goodbye. Mom! Yeah, no, I feel,
but
like,
that's the only medicine that I take. And I've been on it for like over 10 years and it kept my hair from falling out. But
hair looks great.
Thanks. You know, I used to like, I used to use so much. I don't use Rogaine anymore, but I used to go through a 3-month supply every week.
You're so obsessive.
That's what I'm saying. I got to be in 12-step programs. 12-step programs.
Hair Loss Anonymous.
Yeah. I would like smear it, and it started giving me heart palpitations because I was like putting like.
You were overdosing on Rogaine.
A whole 3 months. But then I would still be like, take like activated charcoal toothpaste. Like,
gotta stay healthy.
I'd be like, yeah, you can't have fluoride in your toothpaste. But it's like, dude, look how much Rogaine you're using.
Yeah, that it's like the way people are so hypocritical with these. I mean, yeah. What I can't take is the women. If someone isn't all about vaccines, that's fine. I get skepticism, whatever. Like, I didn't want to get one right away. Whatever. Mm. Women filled with Botox and filler being like, I'm not touching the vaccine. It's like, it's what they put in your face. If you go to a person who does that, they literally call it a toxin. They're like, okay, so we're going to give you toxins. And then you're like, I don't know what's in that vaccine. It's like, yeah, and then whatever's in your face is probably enough. You're probably vaccinated. Yeah, so you're fine.
Probably have like crocodile taint like in your face or whatever it is that they're
putting. Yeah, that stuff's always funny to me. Like, I had a roommate when I first moved to LA.
Or people who eat McDonald's like, I ain't getting the vaccine.
Yeah, you're like, you're filled to the brim with poison. 100%. Or my cokehead roommate who was like, is that organic? And it's like, you do street cocaine. You're doing, what do you think, you have pure Colombian cut organic 100%. Cocaine? 100%. I've seen you crash into a drive-thru. Like, what are you?
100%. And I'm one of those people, I'm not anti-vaccine, but I'm like, I try not to take any of it. Like, they called me from Kaiser, from my insurance, and they were like,
tried to bully
like,
you into
yeah, they're like, it's time to get your vaccine. I go, no thanks. And then she goes, she acted like I stabbed her grandmother. You know what I mean? And it's just like, there's like this weird thing to where it's like, there's no one size shoe fits all. Maybe some people should be vaccinated. Maybe some people shouldn't. Like,
well, and it shouldn't be that divisive that if you go, like, I'm not going to get that one, that immediately the leap people will make from, I don't know how I feel about getting the booster shot to going, obviously you're a Nazi.
Yeah, it's like weird.
It's fucking
like,
crazy.
Yeah, 100%. You're like, you think I'm a Nazi because I didn't get a booster?
Because I didn't want to get, because I'm fine?
Do you feel like that's gone away, though?
I do think it is.
Like,
and
I
think
feel like people kind of came out of that a little bit. There's still some nutty people.
Sure, and they're mostly just like lunatics on the internet. I think.
Yeah.
I think it went so far that it forced people to go, what the fuck are we doing? Like, I think that probably both parties, so to speak, I don't want to make it about American politics, but that's like our frame of reference. Uh-huh. It's like the spotlight was on these, on both sides, not the spotlight, but the loudest voice was always like the most intense, like lunatic. And I think people just got fucking sick of it. And they're like, I'm done. Whatever side they were on, they were like, I'm fucking sick of this.
It's like, enough. Be such a, like, my girlfriend and I have different political beliefs.
Really?
We just don't even talk about
y'all fight,
it.
Y'all fist fight?
We actually did get in a fight one time.
She knocked you out.
Yeah, she did. She uppercutted me, and then I landed on top of my car. we got, it was something dumb. It was some dumb thing. But, like, we just decided, we just don't talk about politics. Because it's not that big of a deal. We get along perfectly.
Yeah.
We literally never fight.
They're like, this particular thing, like, we see the opposite side on, why are we going to, like, I'm not going to change you. You're not going to change me. None of us are hurting anybody.
Yeah. It's like, you can think like that all you want. Like, it's not a big deal. And I wish more people were like that. It's like, if I can be in a relationship with somebody that has different political beliefs than me, why can't you, like, be in the same room?
Get along. Yeah, the people are like, if you don't think this, that, and this, I'm blocking you. I don't even want to hear from you. It's like, that's a good way to fucking open up your mind. Uh-huh. That's a good...
It's so dumb. It's like, or the condescending, like, videos. And it's like, let's talk about this in three simple steps. You know, when somebody's, like, talking about that? It's like, number one, it's like, this is a way that emboldens people with white supremacy. You know, like, when people like, do those, like, kind of TikToks. And it's like, dude, this is not about social justice.
You're alone on your toilet.
Yeah, you're alone on your toilet. Yeah, this is about you elevating yourself.
Yeah, you want to feel like a hero. And that's so much, like Twitter and social media. And it's like, your post didn't do anything. Your post didn't help anyone. Like, people going,
didn't do anything. It's self-importance.
Oh, yeah. Like, the changing of words, unhoused, fuck off.
Unhoused. Oh, my gosh.
Dude, I saw someone go, like, it's unhoused because homeless, they said, home is where the heart is. And just because someone is on the street doesn't mean they don't have people who love them. And I just thought, like, yeah, it does. Like,
your bridges.
Yeah, they ruined it for themselves.
Yeah, don't
they robbed their family.
Yeah, don't sleep with your brother's wife.
Yeah, because it's like if you had people who cared about you, they would come go like, get in the fucking car. We'll figure it out.
Unhoused is so funny. What's so funny
is... Did that help them at all?
No. I was doing an open mic one time, and I remember I was working on this joke where I was talking about how, like, people are like, if you vote no on the recall of Gavin Newsom, it's going to get worse. I'm like, really? There's, like, a homeless dragon eating people outside of my apartment. And then, like, some guy came up after me. He goes, it's actually unhoused. He goes, he's like, I'm unhoused.
You're unhanged is what you are.
You're unhinged and unhoused.
You don't have a home, and you're doing an open mic?
Or unalive. Is another
I mean, he unalived himself. Oh, did that make it feel better? Do you feel better about
you
the?
You need to have a.
That's like for you. It's like that does nothing for the person hurting.
You need to have a severe word for somebody who is suicidal because it does warrant attention. It is serious. It should be serious.
You shouldn't be dampening it or tapering it down.
Like he unalived himself.
We don't want to say suicide because that might trigger someone. Oh, well, you should have said it because maybe it would have stopped this guy from fucking killing himself.
Yeah, right. Be like, he unalived himself. It's like, it sounds like, did he make cookies before he did it? Like, it just sounds so, like, sweet and innocent.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, just, he's so kooky.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think there was that weird time. And I think comics just don't, like, it could even be, like, something like, we just don't like being told what to think.
Yeah.
And what to believe. Like,
yeah, and
we
I think
like, authoritarianism. And it's, like, could be something that you agree with. Like, I'm a Christian, but if somebody comes up to me and is like, in order for you to be a Christian and a comedian, you have to do this. I want to do the opposite of what
person
says, because now they're telling me what I have to do and they're domineering about it.
Yeah, it's so also, like, why was I ever trying to, like, fall in line with what someone said the rules were in comedy? Like, if I'm going to follow the rules, I'll just go work at a fucking corporation.
100%.
Like, what am I just trying to appease the person who's never going to book me, who's never going to buy a ticket 100%. To my show, who's, like, doesn't like my comedy anyway? Like, fuck off.
I think, though, the interesting thing, though, now is I feel like, do you feel like it's kind of in a place where you get your own fans and stuff like that? Like, it's not really, like... It used to be, I kind of miss the old Hollywood model to where it was like auditioning sitcom.
Yeah.
Like movies.
Yeah, where you like had to impress people, had to be impressed by your skills. And
yeah, and you find somebody who develops you and believes in you. And it's like that still obviously is a thing, but it feels
barely.
Like there's 98 lanes on the freeway now. There used to be 6.
Yeah.
It was like, what was it? Like theater, stand-up comedy, film, TV, music.
The radio.
Radio. I guess those were the same.
Sorry, radio. Now as I'm like, making a podcast.
Yeah, now we're like competing for attention with like plumbers on TikTok. You know what I mean? Everybody's on like.
It's online. Insane.
Like there'll be like a greeting card maker who's getting all the views. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and then like you're like they're not even funny.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's like it feels kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, and
like everything's kind of changed.
Oh yeah, well, and I think like you used. I feel like more often than not. I mean, I'm like, did my boyfriend come home? He's going to get so annoyed. They said, I think the industry is getting lazy. They're waiting for you to already pop a lot of the times. Like, like it's rare. It's more rare now for them to like find someone brand new and go, ooh, we should introduce this person to people.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, well, if they were really good, they would have already built an audience.
100%. I remember my old manager, the one. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The one he was always talking
about. I was like, I'm going to say his name, but I won't.
Yeah, and he was always like, I remember he was trying to tell me what to do, and he was like, he was like, you're the next Jim Carrey. And I was like, cool. And I asked him what he liked that Jim Carrey did. I go, do you like Ace Ventura? He's like, no. I go, do you like Dumb and Dumber? He goes, no. And I go, do you like The Mask? And he goes, no. And I was like, what do you like that Jim Carrey did? He goes, I liked his stand-up. And I was like, that was the least prolific. I mean, he was a funny stand-up.
Yeah, but nobody...
But it was like, no, that was not what he was known for.
That's not what anyone talks
so
about.
So he was trying to always get me to be something. And I remember he really loved Jerry Lewis. And
of course.
He pulled up this video of Jerry Lewis from the 40s answering telephones and smoking a cigar to like a jazz drum beat. And then like, he goes, this is the direction you need to be going in. And then that's when I fired him. And I was like, I'll just go and try to figure this out myself. He clearly doesn't know what he's talking about.
This is the direction. Yeah, 1940s like, humor?
Yeah, 1940s.
Whoa.
Whoa, who, where, there, everywhere. Like, he wants me to be, like, just completely, you know, like, doing a vaudeville set.
To range.
Yeah, so it's crazy. So I say all that just to say, I think, like, a lot of times it's everybody's just guessing of what's going to be hot.
Yeah, and nobody really knows.
There's no way to predict it. You could be the most talented person in the world right now, but if that's not what people want, there's no demand for it, then it's just like...
If that's not what's popular... You just
have to accept it.
Yeah. You know? But that's also, like, can be frustrating, but it can also be liberating to go, like, oh, nobody knows. There's not... I think there was so many years when I first started where I felt a little bit like I was trying to figure out, well, what am I supposed to be doing for the industry to notice me? And mm-hmm. it's like, they don't even know. Just do what you think is funny. You don't need to try to, like, if I do more of my jokes that are like this, it's like I obviously wrote from my own voice, my own perspective, but there were times where I'd go, oh, maybe I should do these ones that are more like this. More often. Maybe yeah. I should be more personal, or maybe I shouldn't be so dirty. And it's like...
And then it hurts you because now you're trying to, like, fit yourself into a box. I did that when I first got here. That's probably yeah. why I do so much self-help, because I was trying to fit myself into their box and be like, do you love me yet?
I'm healed.
I was trying to heal myself so Hollywood would like me. That's really the root of it. I think that's why I don't have as much. I don't really have social anxiety anymore because I don't really care.
Yeah, because you're like
it's like a weird. It's a weird thing. I've kind of like let go of like I work really hard and I've let go of like the results in a way in a sense.
Yeah, that it's like not there's always going to be that little part of like, no matter how much you enjoy the process, in my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's still work for me to do, and that's what this is. But like. There's always going to be that like little part of me at least that creeps up every once in a while. And is like, I can go like, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. I'm having fun at these shows. The audience is having fun. The industry doesn't seem to be on board with it. I don't give a fuck. I'm doing what I like. But every once in a while, every few years, I think I have a kind of like heavy moment where I go, but like, why don't they like me?
100%. Because it's like,
but like, why not me also?
But I feel like, I don't know. We're all our own worst enemy. I feel like everybody thinks you're hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
No, for real. Like, I've never heard anybody say, like, oh, she's not funny. Literally anybody. I've never heard anybody say that about you.
No, I mean, I've never heard about you. But really?
I feel like there's definitely people out there who think that I'm annoying.
Oh, well, those are two different things.
yeah, annoying but funny.
Well, I've never heard anyone say that about you, but I'm like, there's probably people who said that about me, but like... You still be like objectively funny, I think, because yeah. there's people who I know, not you, but there's people who I sometimes go like, oh, they're kind of annoying, but then they go up and I'm like, God, that's so, yeah, it's so funny. They just like can't turn it off.
Yeah, that's a thing. I used to be one of those people who couldn't turn it off, and now I feel like I can.
Yeah, I think I couldn't be shut down.
Yeah, you just stare at a wall.
Yeah, I think my body's like just powers down. It goes into just like sleep mode.
It's time to get on stage now, and you're like, ah!
Yeah, it's we're getting older. We have to harness the energy.
You really do. It's so crazy too. Speaking of like getting older and stuff, like, are you? Do you like watch your diet? Do you have like a? You and I have talked about some wacky diets, the carnivore diet.
Oh yeah, I tried to do that. And by the way, what was it? Blood pressure like fucking tanked, or like I started getting heart palpitations.
Oh yeah, because you weren't getting enough electrolytes. That's
the problem is you're not putting enough salt on your meat. Maybe, but I just immediately instead of
lose so much water
making adjustments, what I do is go, it's not working anymore. And I 360 and get fat, get in pain. Like I just like can't.
It's so funny. I like if I eat too bad, I feel like I got stomped out by the Hell's Angels.
And too bad is not even that bad anymore. It's like
No, it's like I eat like meat, fruit, vegetables, and raw dairy.
Oh, you're a raw dairy person?
Yeah, I'm a
raw
dairy
person. That shit scares me.
Yeah, no, I get it from Air One. I get the kefir because it's a little bit more fermented, so it like takes the steam.
Okay.
But I do raw dairy and raw cheese too. So I do that. And then sometimes I'll eat like cupcakes or pie if somebody offers it to me.
Raw cheese, meat, food, and sometimes I'll have cupcakes.
Yeah, like my girlfriend has cupcakes at her place, and I was like, I almost ate one before I came over here. But then I was like, I'm going to be retarded on the podcast.
Yeah, I like tank.
I'll be like, do you like making people laugh? Like, what's fun about that for you? Like, I just turned dumb.
No, it is. And the older I get, and I guess it's not even necessarily older, but like the more I stay on like a healthier nutrition type thing, the more when I derail, it's so much worse. Like, and I don't know how much is age and how much is just my body. Now that I'm healthier, going, what the fuck are you doing with this thing?
Right. It's like, why are you dumping this crap in a system? It's like you got Yeah, I just did a detox the other day. I did a bentonite clay cleanse.
Wait, okay, what is this?
I took 50 bentonite clay pills a day.
I just want to interrupt really quick to anyone listening. Don't do anything Matt's about to say without doing research.
Yeah, don't get this stuff. There's a supplement by a guy named Dr. Schultz.
Of course there is. It's Andrew Schultz.
No, it's called intestinal cleanse.
Okay.
And there's one. It's like there's these pills that make you like poop a lot.
You took 50 of them?
No, not the pills that make you poop, okay. but the bentonite clay pills. It has like bentonite clay in it. And so what it does is you take 10 of them at a time, 5 times a day for 5 days. So it's a total of 50 pills a day over 5 days. I guess that's 250 pills in 5 days or something.
So already knowing nothing, you're like, this is insane.
Yeah, but when you take the pills that make you poop, it's like got like hot sauce in it, so it hurts so bad. Or like not hot sauce, cayenne pepper.
How are you alive?
And you're like
rocket launching off like the toilet.
You're like pooping out baseball bats. Like
Jesus Christ. Because
it's like sucking everything in your system, and then you're just like pooping a lot. And like it's weird. I was on that cleanse, and I like pooped. And one day I go, I think my anxiety's gone.
I think one moment of peace and you're like, I'm cured.
No, I think it grabbed a bunch of heavy metals that were probably floating around from like the Rogaine that I'd been smearing over my head for the years.
Is that what it's supposed to do? Take out heavy metals?
It takes out heavy metals and a bunch of stuff, yeah. But it's like
bentonite? That sounds like a metal.
So, well, I don't know if it is. It's clay. But the guy's name is Dr. Schultz. He's got an apothecary
You click on his video and it's like 3 hours before they tell you what they're actually selling you.
Yeah, totally. No, he's like, he looks
an apothecary?
Good. The dude like rides bikes and I think he's like 85. So, I mean, he's doing something right. He's like really old, but it's like he does these cleanses and stuff. And I'm not a vegan. I think veganism is kind of... That's my opinion.
I think you need meat. I'm trying to eat less meat lately, and it's more because of a documentary I saw about how we're just killing the earth.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm trying to find like substitutes that have protein. I'm not giving it up. I'm just trying to cut back.
Trying to cut back a little
bit. So I can, I mean, how much is me having one less steak a week really going to help? But in my mind, I'll be like, as a hero.
Yeah. You're,
I might as well be Captain Planet.
No, that's cool that you care. But you know what I mean?
I'm like, who am I saving it for? The earth is fucked.
Yeah, and then I'm just like eating like a steak and everything.
You're just cutting up a cow.
Like greenhouse coming out of my chimney. Greenhouse gases coming out of my chimney, and I'm like,
I've never felt better.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel really good. And then there's like people that are dying around you.
Just everyone's dead outside your house.
Your house is wrapped in saran wrap, so you're just eating a ton of meat. It's killing everything outside of your house.
Just dead trees. Like, I think that house is haunted. No, he just eats a lot of meat and it comes out the chimney.
I remember I told this girl one time, I was like telling her about this doctor. His name's Sean Baker and all he eats is steaks.
Oh, Sean. I followed him very briefly on Instagram.
He's kind of mean. I like him. I like him, but he is kind of mean.
I got annoyed. It was like, at first I was like, oh, this guy's interesting. I liked what he was saying. And then I got like 4 posts in a row of him being like, oh, look at this vegan stupid idiot. And I was like, I liked when you were giving information. I liked it before you were like roided out on ribeye and bullying vegans in your comments.
Like lifting weights and take a bite out of steak. And
yeah, because I listened to him talk about like the carnivore diet and the research they'd done. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I think I unfollowed him like 3 days later because my feed got infiltrated with him.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
We're back from the accidental commercial break that was forced upon us because the camera overheated.
The camera just blew up.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, if it happens again, we're going straight audio. So go over to wherever you listen to audio podcasts. And if you want to finish, if you want the hot bonus ending of this. Okay, wait. Sean Baker.
Yeah, we were talking about Sean Baker, the guy who eats only steaks and just bullies vegans.
And it's like, it's already a strange diet. Like,
it's a very strange diet.
Why are you a cartoon of the kind of person who eats only steaks? Like, when you go, they eat only steaks. That's who you picture is Sean Baker. It's like a man beating people up.
Yeah, he's like roided out and like he's just like cussing about like vegans on. Like,
he's so mad.
A wife and kids. Why are you mad about like this weird vegan doctor who lives in a different state?
It's also like, what is in the steak you're eating that you're so angry?
Well, it's steroids are in it.
That's right. It is.
I don't think you
not grass fed.
I don't think you can get that big from just eating meat.
Yeah, like, there's no way he's not.
He says he's hormone free or whatever, but it's like,
no,
dude, you are ripped.
Yeah, there's no way. You don't lose maybe your neck eating only.
If he was saying this, he'd like he'd probably like clip this and be like, look at that freaking beta male that doesn't have any muscle on.
We should clip this and tag him.
I actually work out a lot. But he...
Oh, yeah. I work out a lot. Was he doing cardio? Gets on the. Was he doing 10,000 steps a day? And then he goes home and he eats his celery?
And yeah. I'm like, actually, no, I eat meat every single day.
Yeah, what do you eat? Fish? Yeah, you think that's meat? You having chicken nug, dino-shaped chicken nuggets, you big fucking pussy?
Yeah, it's so funny. It's like,
anyway,
dude,
subscribe to my buy my 90-day program.
But I do like the guy because I do think he's helping people. I just think he's also crazy.
Well, I mean,
I
think that's
too, so
like,
I'm crazy too, Sean Baker. I'm out of my mind. So.
Personalities.
But I would love to meet him, and I think I'd really like him a lot.
I bet he shakes. I bet he tries to break people's hands
when
he shakes,
shakes
them.
It? Yeah, I mean, I try to shake people's hands with like a firm handshake because I'm from the Midwest, and you get like stoned in front of a Cracker Barrel if you don't shake someone's hand. Like, you get back here and shake my hand.
Well, I've always done like a firm grip because I at some point, maybe it's just where I grew up, but like as a woman, it's like to be taken seriously. I need to like. I had a girl. I met a woman, a fully grown woman, in 2024. Because I guess it was a few weeks ago. I was introduced to someone at a comedy club, and I went to shake her hand, and she went.
Oh, I hate that.
I wanted to throw up. I was like, what do you, what?
I want to push people off a bridge when they do that. When they like, when they give me that handshake, I actually feel like it's weird. Something flares up. I turn into Sean Baker. I turn into Sean Baker.
Get your vegan fingers out of my face.
Like, get your vegan soft. Yeah. Your freaking tofu fish.
Your meatless tofu sausages out of my face.
Yeah, I hate a weak handshake.
Me too. And I don't know if it's biological or if it's because we are raised in places where people are like, you got to have a good handshake.
I think it's both, because people are trying to act like everything. Like, they're like, all these things that we have, it's just because of society. It's like, no, because you have to think of it like.
It came from somewhere.
I know everybody always uses this argument of like hunter gatherers or whatever, but it's like.
Sean Baker does.
Yeah, Sean Baker definitely does.
Your Instagram algorithm.
Yeah, this is my algorithm. You know what I'm watching. This is why. This is why my girlfriend and I have different political beliefs.
You're like, we just have to agree to disagree. Pan over to your laptop, and there's a shirtless man beating
like
up a vegan child.
To a Jordan Peterson video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she's Sean Bacon screaming about vegans.
It's like, just wearing meat as a hat.
She's like, why do I like this guy? And she's like, it's probably just biological.
Yeah, it's in your blood. Tough man, save tribe. Strong, fight off bear.
But, like, you have to admit, like, back then, if you really were hunting for food, if a guy gave you, like, a weak handshake, you're like, this guy can't spear a fish.
This guy's not gonna. It's not gonna. But maybe he could. Maybe his hands are so delicate because he had precision, you know?
Yeah, but he's throwing toothpicks. he's throwing toothpicks at katydids, like, freaking, like, tiny bugs. He's like,
it's Moby Dick!
And, like, toothpicks, and he's like, yo!
Oh, my rotator cuff.
Yeah, and she's like, did you kill that bug for me? He's like spearing bugs. You just see like a giant eye behind like an anthill.
Ha ha!
Throwing a toothpick.
And then the ants attack him.
No!
Like,
no!
I mean, yeah, it's just such a funny. Because, like, were they shaking hands while they were hunting and gathering?
Yeah, it's like, nice to meet you. But I always had, like, my dad taught me that. He's like, firm handshake and look someone in the eye. But the weird thing is, it's that delicate balance because you shake someone's hand firmly, but then you don't do it so much to where it's like,
okay, they think you got a thing going.
Then
on.
It screams insecurity. You
yeah.
Because I mean? If you're like,
they're like, we get it. You have a small dick.
We get it, dude. You can't see, like, we can't see your penis when you put your pants.
Yeah, it is. It's like you want to be firm, but not.
Want to be firm, but not like it's
so that, aggressive that it feels like you're compensating.
Yeah, because it's that balance, right? Like, there's that balance between confidence. It goes confidence, insecurity, insane insecurity.
It's where it's like, oh, this person's, yeah. Now they're just like the deranged. God, it's so sad to see.
Yeah, when somebody's like, "What's your name?" It's like Kyle, and then they like,
"How are you?"
Yeah, how are you doing? And then it's like, dude,
I'm a CEO of my own company that I built.
It's like,
selling supplements that I've taken from another company.
That I handcrafted, that I stole from another company. Yeah. It's so crazy because like that it is that delicate balance of like shaking the art of the handshake.
It is really something.
It's very, very like you have to do it right. And because the dead fish thing, it's like, you know, kill that guy. But then
no, literally, it does make me go like, we got to get rid of some people. Medical technology has gotten too good. You shouldn't be here.
Yeah, 100%.
You shouldn't have made it out of the womb. You were the strongest sperm.
It's like I saw when we were like during the pandemic. I remember I saw someone in like a Breaking Bad hazmat suit in Whole Foods, and then I was like, yeah. I was like, this is like at a certain point. Even if they told me there were asteroids that were flying out of the sky and like killing people, I'm not gonna like sit inside and be. Eventually, I'm gonna go out. It's probably gonna hit me.
And I'll die instantly.
My shoes shoot off.
You showed them.
Yeah, but it's like
vegans.
It's like, yeah, it's like, what are you guys, a bunch of vegan pussies?
Trying to punch asteroids.
And then it just knocks your arm off and blood's shooting. We think in cartoons.
I know.
Have you noticed that? Like,
I do that in real life though. It's like I'll get afraid
imagination. We have a magic school bus imagination.
I know. I mean, I'll literally think that things are going to blow up. Like, in real life, though, I go like, well, what if my tire just flies off? And it's like, you think your tire is going to fly off because you went over a pot? It's not going to fly off.
It's weird. It's like weird neurotic stuff. Like, whenever I cooked eggs at my girlfriend's house and then I left and I was like, I didn't leave the stove on, did I? And I know I didn't because I'm like super paranoid about that. But I like doubled back and like went in and I was like, I didn't leave the stove on, did I? And looked at the stove. And then, because I just pictured, like, her house, like, burning down. She's got a condo, and I pictured all of that burning down. And her parents being like, she worked so hard for this. And
you know how hard it is to get a condo in Los Angeles?
Los Angeles be like, you messed it up. And be like, I don't want you talking to my daughter. And I'm like, I'm my 30s. Like,
yeah, all that from you rushing out to get to a podcast.
To get to a podcast, I burn the house.
Because you're playing out this whole scene.
Yeah, so it's like.
It's not the house isn't just gone. It's her family hates you.
Right. It's like a weird cartoon. That plays in your head. Like
I do it all the time.
A weird fantasy. Or even like, you know, whenever I was a kid, I used to check the fire hazards in the house. And we had a big house. So I would check all the fire hazards because I was afraid that
you died in a fire in a past life.
Yeah, I was afraid that I'd kill my family. Like, I was afraid that, like, I would, like, have, like, a blanket too close to the radiator and be like, and then it would, like, catch on fire and be like, and my mom would be like, oh, no! You know, like, I would, like, picture that. And I would, like, think of things that could go wrong. And so I would like
I do that too.
Stuff. I don't do that kind of anymore.
I don't do it as much, but like
but
I will my I want to say I don't do it as much, but that's my brain will just in any moment without me consciously really trying to do it, but I am imagining every worst possible scenario that could happen. Like 100%. The amount of times I'm walking down the street and just vividly imagine that I'm going to fall and bust my face open and bleed out and it's like what?
Yeah, it's weird. Do you ever have like intrusive thoughts to where like you're walking next to someone and you're like, that's so crazy that I could just grab them and throw them over the rail. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. I have no desire to do it. It's like, I would never do that in a million years. And then I think I'm like, oh, I feel sorry for them. Cause I picture them like falling and screaming.
Yeah, and, like, and they're just existing in your heart.
They're just like, I asked you if you wanted to go for me to pick up anything from the grocery store. And you're just looking at them like this. And you're like, I feel so sorry.
You're like, oh, you're bleeding out.
Yeah. And it's like, I love you.
Why would I do that to you?
Yeah, and it's like, you're just sitting there looking at him. I used to think of that, like, be like, I could literally just hit that person in the face with a frying pan and like, send them to the hospital. Or I could, like, grab the knife and just start stabbing everybody.
You know what's so funny?
It's like a crazy intrusive thought. And I'm not considering it. I hate that these things pop in my brain sometimes.
I don't think that – I think they're more common than people think. Or, like
– probably. Or like, just the only ones who talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, when they say, like, a lot of times – oh, the reason heights are scary is because, like, you have an instinct to jump off. Or, like...
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Or I think about jerking the wheel sometimes, which I think Bill Burr has made, like, a joke about, where you're just driving on the street and you think, like, what would happen if I just ended it all
right now? Yeah, like, I was driving over an overpass, and I'm like, I could literally just, like, swoop the car off and, like, flip it off. And be like,
yeah, and anytime if there's, like, a little bit of traffic and I'm, like... You know, when you're like changing highways and you're on one of those big like overpass turns and I'm like, this thing just crumbles. And I'm like, what?
Like, you could literally imagine
if just flying off the side.
Imagine if somebody made you mad and, like, on the road, you could literally just floor your car and be like, boosh, and, like, smash into it.
I know. Or, like, I think like, all the time about, like, what if I just accidentally swerved and flew off?
Did you see the video? It was on Instagram. I was like, oh, I mean, there's so many videos out there. But it was a viral video of a guy. They ripped him off at the car dealership. And then they're like doing paperwork. And he drives his car through the plate glass window.
It's Sean
and
Baker. Yeah.
He's like, I thought I told you vegans did not rip me off. And
what is
like,
that?
We're not even vegans, sir. No, but he.
What's that paper made out of bamboo? I'm ripping up the contract.
Yeah. And so he drives it through the thing. And it's like this fat guy that waddles out of his car. And he's like, I already told you. He's like. He's really pissed off, but it's like, and then people in the comment section were like, yes, we're all fed up. And I was like, what exactly is it that you're all fed up about?
Yeah.
This one car dealership? Because I seriously doubt that.
This, yeah.
The level of entitlement that people feel right now, I think, is amazing.
But yeah, it's also just like, you know? Well, you let them fuck you over and now you're mad about it? Like, yeah, you should have said no to the deal. Yeah. Fucking, you signed that contract, you dipshit?
He
drove, walk away.
He drove the car through the thing and like almost like people jumped out of the way.
And now you don't have a car. Now you have a lawsuit.
Now you're going to jail.
Oh, you were mad about the $200 a month payment? Well, now you're in prison, you fucking idiot.
It's so funny.
But that's how they get us.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
How the man holds us back.
I was at a car dealership one time and I was signing the paperwork and the guy who sold me the car, I'm not even kidding, I was at his desk. He walked past me and farted. And I was like, is this like a metaphor for what I just got myself into? Like, I don't think he was trying to. It wasn't like a blatant thing, but it like snuck out. It was like, bah.
That's so funny. Man, car dealers, they know how to fuck you over.
They really do.
It's.
How do they get married? They're like.
How do you trust that guy?
You trust. Yeah, because he's kind of.
He's in just like a crooked tie and he's negotiating your marriage contract.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, here's why.
Here's why you need to be with me and I'm not getting you a ring.
Yeah.
Hear me out.
Yeah, and he like sells him. He's like, closed her.
Like, yeah.
All of his fat car dealership friends, because I feel like they're always fat.
Yeah.
They all have like the belly. They all like high five each other.
Yeah, and their pants are like way below the belly. That's so great.
Yeah, that whole
How
thing.
Are their asses so small?
I feel like the coffee at car dealerships probably smells like farts because I feel like all those guys are like farting.
Need a little motivation. Just drinking out of the pot. You look like you should be in a Chevy. Okay,
that's
wait.
So
I don't want to. I could talk to you forever. I want to talk a little bit about teaching because you teach now.
I do, which is crazy.
You teach middle school, which is
yeah. And it came from doing that 12-step program because I realized, like, I was like, I need money. And I was substitute teaching, which is not much money. And it's like teaching still not a lot of money. I'm like, I need money. What am I going to go do? It's like, you're definitely
teach.
Not
here. That's why you need to be in a program. It's like.
Yeah, it's like.
I need money. I'm going to
make it enough with comedy.
I'm going to make an effort for the thing that is publicly known to not pay well.
Well, LAUSD pays the best. That in New York.
Oh,
so it's okay. it doesn't pay a lot, but it
yeah,
pays,
relative to the cost of LA,
but it pays
more than if you're a Florida teacher.
Oh my gosh, yeah, like with LAUSD, after like 7 years, you can make like six figures, but it's like it's
what?
It's,
how do I get into teaching? What the fuck?
You just have to have a bachelor's degree, and then
I have one. How do I do it? Sign me up.
So it's like the first.
Do you need
year,
an assistant?
The first year, yeah, it's, the first year, it's like it goes up every year.
Oh.
And so, but the thing,
because people don't stay.
No, they don't. They're like, you won't make it till year seven. I mean, the goal is not to teach forever. I'm teaching in supplementation.
Yeah, of course.
To survive LA. But the thing is like, I did start really liking it a lot because I do like kids.
Yeah.
Like, I actually do like kids.
Yeah, look at that mustache. Hilarious. Of course you do.
Yeah.
No, so I mean, fun. And you're a drama teacher. That's
yeah,
fun.
It's drama. But the crazy thing is it's middle school. If I was going to teach high school would be more fun. I like teaching middle school, but it's tough because, like, I don't really get to teach them how to act.
You're not nurturing anyone's real talent. You're just...
No, well, there are some kids that are actually talented. I'm like, holy crap. But then there's, like, another kid that's, like, literally filling up a glove with with water. Like,
he's like, it's performance art.
Yeah, and he was like, I yelled at him. I was like, what are you doing? And then he's like, what? I'm just filling up a rubber glove with water. And then I was like, yeah, and it exploded all the way classroom. And so it's like, you deal with that all day long to where you're just like...
Do you have a classroom?
I do.
I just remember
classroom. I'm teaching full time.
My middle school drama class was just behind the stage. It was like on stage behind the
curtain. We have that, but then like I have access to that room. But the problem is like when I'm in there, they like tear up the curtains and stuff because they're middle schoolers.
Yeah, they're monsters.
We had boom mics and they were sword fighting with them. And then I was like, "Why are you doing that?" And I was like, "Well, we found it in the closet." And I was like, "So you thought you'd sword fight?"
You just thought these are swords now?
These are swords now. And he was like, ugh. "Everything that they do, they always act like they're the victim and they did nothing."
It's like what?
You realize from teaching middle schoolers, it's the same people like that you used to see on Cops that were like, "I didn't do nothing." It's like you threw your wife in a deep fryer, and it's like, "I didn't do nothing." It's like the middle schoolers are the same thing. They're like, "I didn't do nothing." Yeah.
You can't prove it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I can. I just watched you do.
You're literally holding it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like literally, it's
you're
like,
covered in Mountain Dew.
Put her liver back inside of her. Like that's what it feels. It's crazy, but. I started doing that, and it's kind of cool because the majority of my comedy act now is just about teaching. That's all I really talk about on stage.
It's like, I mean,
I'm just around it all day long.
Well, yeah, so. I feel like when people have a kid, the amount of just material that comes from every comedian I've ever seen have a kid, suddenly they have immediately a new hour.
Immediately.
And now you're surrounded by
kids.
Kids that you don't have to give a, I mean, you give a fuck about them as their teacher, but like,
yeah.
It's not like, oh, if I talk about this one kid, obviously you're not naming their names, but it's like, not your kid who's going to later look back and go, oh, you just thought it was funny that I cried as a baby? Yeah. Oh, you thought it was a hoot? So you're like, I'm not going to give them dad issues if I make jokes about them terrorizing me.
In middle school, it's so funny. It's
multiple kids and the worst kids because it's middle school.
It really is.
The best middle schooler is still a middle schooler.
100%. And I like all the kids, but it's like collectively, and since it's drama, it's like a dumping ground. So like they're like, oh, this guy
drama
sucks.
Not trauma for those who
drama. Yeah, it's like I got drama. That should be the name of the podcast. Drama.
It's just you talking about what went wrong in your class every day.
What went wrong and be like, today John set a water fountain on fire. But no, they'll give you those because they, especially as like a first year teacher, they give you they give you the kids that nobody wants. They give you the orange jumpsuit kids that you
know,
the ones that have like, you know, the fugitives, the John Wayne Gacy's, the Jeffrey Dahmer's.
The 15-year-old seventh graders.
They'll be like, this guy's 28 and he's in seventh grade.
He's going to beat the shit out of you.
He's giving the drama teacher. He's like punching the drama teacher.
Hey, let me be in the scene.
Yeah, let me be in the scene, y'all. No, it's all, it is.
Give me a part. It's improv.
You're teaching cholos how to do Hamlet. And that's
the camera's dead, but who cares?
Yeah. But it's crazy because it's fun, and but yeah, it's challenging, and I don't want to do it forever.
Yeah, it's just means to an end.
It's so hard, but yeah, I got to go back to school, and I'm doing that.
You gotta, what do you have to learn? What are they making you?
It's like management stuff, and they're like, okay. If somebody tells you that they're he, him, what do you say? And then it's like,
ha-ha!
Yeah, he, him. You call me y'all, because you sound like a jackass. No,
you're like, do I need to pay to get a credit to know this?
Yes,
but okay.
It's like, oh my gosh. But yeah, it's put some of the stuff that they teach you, it actually is legitimate, you know. Because
I'm
like,
sure it's helpful. It's
yeah, I mean, I've
stuff
already,
that we take for granted. That
I've lost my temper, like as a teacher.
Yeah,
and like I've even said things before. Like I told the class, I'm like, I'm either really nice or I'm a psychopath.
You said that, and like
yeah,
you
I
can't
said that,
say
I said that
to
kids.
They were like, you can't say that to kids.
They're like, they told me to like one kid. He was like, sort of sound like this, and he's like, Mr. Jones. He's like, you crash out a lot.
You crash out. Why are you a 40-year-old surfer?
Yeah, have you heard that crash out?
No.
So
is that like raging?
It's like, I guess. I don't know what it means, but I like.
You're the angry teacher.
Yeah, I'm like really nice, but then like they give me 40 kids a class.
That's a circus.
Yeah, and so it's like, how can I
manage this?
Possibly manage all this.
Break it into four teams of 10.
Yeah, like
just kidding.
It's crazy. So what I do some days is I just like I'm like, all right, you guys are gonna pretend to sell me something, and you have to convince me that you have a great product. I want you to write it and break apart.
You're getting them all into telemarketing.
Yeah. Sometimes you just like, but then other days I'm like, I'm really on because I'm very caffeinated.
Yeah.
And I'm just like very much.
He's
like,
back on the sauce.
They probably think I'm bipolar because I'm like either on caffeine or I'm like, if you choose to do this, I will send you to the principal's office. I've called a student's parents, like, in the class before. There was one day they were just acting up because they were tearing up the class. I was
like a
right.
Comic doing crowd work. No, get him on the phone.
I was like, yeah. I was like, all right, we're going to get her on the phone. And I was like, is your mom Eleanor? And then I was, like, looking it up on the computer. I was like, and I was just stepping out in the hallway and being like, yeah, Eleanor, she will not stop throwing makeup. She marked F off. All over the table in permanent marker.
What did the parents say?
And the parents are like, oh my gosh, I'll talk to her. And then, like,
I was like, thank God it's not a parent who's like, well, what the fuck did you do?
100%. There's those people who exist out there.
Like, insane. That it's never their kid's fault.
Yeah. And it's like, I just did parent teacher conferences and everything. And a lot of them don't even speak English. So I'm like, I don't know how we're going to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
And they're like, is she doing good? I'm like, good.
Good.
Good. You know what I mean? It's just like one word. And they're like, yeah. Okay.
Bad.
Yeah. You're like, good. Bad.
Bad.
Yeah. You go, ugh. Like sticking your finger down your throat. You're like, understand. She makes me want to throw up. She's... But they're good kids though, and it's fun, and it's given me a ton of material. And
do you have any love? I do love kids.
I legitimately do, and I'm not just saying that to be like,
I'm good. Don't fire me. Yeah.
No, I really do love kids.
No, I mean you would have to.
I love those kids. I really do. I know all of them, and I like them, but they just drive me crazy collectively.
Are there any? We're not going to name names, obviously. Not that they'd listen.
There's one kid that has my same name, and he's also really short, and he's probably the hardest student.
That's God.
100%.
This is what you did to teachers.
100%. And like, I had him break apart into groups, and he's like, "Can we do a scene on Cobra Kai?" And I was like, "Sure." And then he goes, "Hawk Tua," and pretended to kick like this girl in the face. And then I was like, yeah, you can't say that because it's like, I'll get in trouble. But it was like, sometimes they will do stuff and you're like, you're actually kind of funny.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Are there people who go like, this person's really talented? Or worse, are there people who like really love the class that you're like, give it up?
No, the kid. I'm always partial to someone if they love the class, because if they're trying, because that's like,
half the battle.
That's
especially in middle school. People are like, I don't want to do this. This is embarrassing.
Totally. And there's a kid who he's so funny. He's got a speech impediment and he's really chubby. He's like Chris Farley.
Yes.
He knows how to use his bigness to get a laugh.
Oh, good for
him.
And
then like he was like he's so good at improv. And I'll always be like, I go, okay, you're gonna reimagine a fairy tale, and you guys are gonna do. Dun, dun. He goes, got it. And then he's like, got it. And then I was like, okay. And then I was like, well, don't you want time to rehearse? He goes, no.
I'm Rapunzel.
Yeah. And then he goes, all right, I'm doing it. And I go, what are you doing? He's like, Beauty and the Beast. And I go, who are you playing? He goes, Belle and the Beast. So he goes up there and Belle, he goes, you're so tall. And then he goes, thanks. He goes, I have AIDS. He goes, that means you have AIDS too. And she's like, oh no. He goes, I'm done. And then I was like, I'm like, I can't not laugh.
Like, oh, you don't do that again, that but kid. I love
it. Yeah, I'm like, don't do that again. I'm like, you're getting an A.
But that was great. I have AIDS.
Yeah, and he's like, that means you have AIDS too. And so it was like, I was like, this kid's funny. And it's like, he's like in seventh grade.
Oh, and that like, just that level of like, mostly probably inappropriate fart, poop, jerk off humor at that age. I'm just thinking of like, when I was that age, or just like watching South Park, like, oh,
yeah. And it wasn't even when South Park at that age, South Park is a genius now, but at that age, it was just kind of like crude jokes.
Yeah, it was just like Terrence and Phillip.
Yeah.
I think there's a whole episode where they're just like, ah!
It was just so insane. And then they got like, became like masterful writers. And then it just became like the best. I think it's the funniest cartoon on TV.
It is. I think it's also.
I like it better than The Simpsons and Family Guy. Oh, yeah. Which I love both of those too.
Oh, they're great. I think it's just a testament to when someone is given the resources and the freedom to like, let's let them grow. Let's let them figure, like, you know, let's let them do their thing and see how it grows naturally. 100%. And that's just how they went. Because like, I don't know. I wonder how many people, I don't know if you like. People stump themselves. Oh shit! I've held you too long.
No,
listen,
no, you didn't. This was super fun.
This was so fun. You have a podcast.
I do. It's called The Teacher's Lounge Live. I think that's what it's called. I had to think about what my own podcast.
Fucking idiot doesn't know what his podcast is.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't remember.
I'm a teacher.
Yeah, I'm teacher.
You don't have a podcast.
That's why I teach drama.
You're just traumatized. You're speaking into those broken boom bikes alone in the teacher's lounge
with a microphone that's taped on the ceiling,
crying.
And you're like, let me tell you what a student did today, and your hair's sticking up. And it's like, all right, I'll see you guys out there. And you're like, I'm going viral.
You're not even posting anything. You're just deranged.
Just completely crazy. So yeah, the Teacher's Lounge Live. I think we're on our. We're dropping our fifth episode.
Oh wow, it's brand new.
We should have you on because you teach sometimes too. Like yeah, I know it's like teaching is kind of a thing. Like you're, I don't know if you still are, but you still like help people with like.
Yeah, I was doing like punch up classes. I was doing group. I almost did one at the beginning of this year, but then the fucking clusterfuck comedians, half the people who signed up, because I do them real small because I like
comedians
to,
are so unreliable.
Yeah, that like people canceled last minute. Then I got people filled those spots and then they canceled. So the poor. there was two women who were solid as rocks in there, and then the other two positions, three positions, kept like coming in and going. And so I just canceled it and was, I told them like, hey, I'm giving them a deal and doing like one-on-one punch up. But yeah, I do that. I love it. Like I actually had to force myself to pump the brakes because I was in danger of running away with just becoming a comedy teacher and not, I
and
stopped focusing
talented,
on
such
my
a talented comic. That's
oh, thank you.
Teaching does help. We should have you on the podcast.
I would love to.
You should tell us about like teaching, because it is teaching. And it's like communicating to adults. You could say that, oh, well, that's a little easier, but it could also be harder too because people are so set in their ways.
And
to where it's like literally like just digging through muck. To
yeah. And especially with some.
It's like, over here, you idiot. And then he's like. Argh.
Yeah. And I mean, like some people are great. And then I had to, it was a learning curve on figuring out the kind of people. I had to start an application process where people gave videos. You had to like submit to be in the, like, let me choose you to pay for a class. But it's like, I had to have a certain level of like, if you can't take a note, I can't have you, like, yeah, you don't have to take every tag that everyone comes up with, but going, actually, I like the way I said, like, there's just having someone go like, I heard what you said, but I want to put it in my voice is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, no, I know that. Your voice is not funny. We're 100%. Trying to do
trying
your
to
voice,
you,
but like.
But funny.
But just put the tag at the end, you know, like.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, I think that's the hardest part about being a teacher is it's like people are taking your class, but they also don't trust you. The thing that sucks too is I'm actually qualified to teach acting. Like I know a ton about acting. And it's like, but these kids are just like, no. Yeah. And so if an adult does that, I can't even, that's so infuriating.
Yeah, that you're just like, okay. But then you're like, where's the line with like, you paid me. So I don't want to be rude, but I want to help you. I want you to get your money's worth.
Have you ever kicked anybody off class? Out of your class?
No.
I don't want you coming back to this class.
But I really teetered on it with like one person, but I just gave them kind of side, like, you know, like let everyone else, you know, have their moment in the, you know, don't feel like you need to jump in with your ideas all the time or right
or
away
all, or ever.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't have to actually have a suggestion for every other person. You can just sit back and watch, like, cause I the way I was running them was kind of like a writer's, I wanted it to feel like, I wanted people to get comfortable. Like, well, if you think of something that might be good in their voice, like let's get in the habit of helping each other and like building that muscle for yourselves to like learn how to like write in other people's voices, because that's a good skill set for working in comedy, you know, if you're trying to write for someone or like get on TV. But some people just really ran away with that too confidently or had a hard time not like understanding that, like getting out of their own voice, you know, where it's like
totally
where it's like, yeah, I get how that would be funny in your act, but like this person would never talk about the thing that's crawling up their asshole. I don't know what to tell you. And don't get me wrong, I love it. I love a good asshole joke.
But it's like, you're not going to be able to do this on a cruise ship.
Yeah, but it's like, this person's talking about Christianity. Right. This person is trying to work colleges. Like,
yeah, it's so funny. It's just the lack of awareness. Comics are also autistic too. So it's
yeah.
Like funny. It's like hyper awareness and then like none at all.
Yeah, and then know? Such different personalities. Where it's, I mean, it's like you said earlier in the episode where like, as soon as someone tells you how to do it something a certain way, you want to do the opposite, even if you agree with them. So it's like, why are you here? You paid for this.
You are paying. Yeah.
But like, luckily, I mostly got really great people. And anyways, I'd love to come on. It was such a great experience. I worked at a school, too, before stand-up took off full-time. I did PR and, like, fundraising. But every once in a while, they'd put me in the classrooms as, like, an extra aide because someone called in sick and it was a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I'm not good at teaching children. We'll get into it later. It's
tough.
I'm great at being their friend. I'm bad at just, I get like, I have too much fun.
Yeah.
Like I'm the one sneaking cookies in the back. Like, no, come on. Just, we won't tell.
Yeah. I was like that at first, but then like the classroom started getting trashed.
Like, so I got to draw a line.
I have to draw a line and have to set boundaries with these kids. Cause I was just kind of hanging out with them and just trying to goof off with them and get them like excited. But it's just like, you have to get in that place. It's like forced me to learn to be a dad.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, if I'm not, then they just take advantage of it. Like, they can't.
It's lawless.
Yeah, because you think of it like, oh, okay, I'll teach it like you would like an improv class with adults. Let's make it funny and they know how to take care of themselves and not like, you know, smear cookies on the wall.
Yeah, like, no, they have to be guided.
Yeah, they have to literally, like, I have like a no food policy in my class.
Yeah, all because people go like, well, what's the funniest thing I could do? And middle schoolers, like, I'm surprised no one's thrown shit at you.
Well, they stomped on a stink bomb in the class, oh, and it like ruined my clothes. Because like everybody, like I had to teach in there all day.
Sorry for
yeah, it's so terrible. And then I was like, I was literally, I took the kid outside and I gave him like a very stern talking to. I go, you will not behave like this in this class. And I'm like, what's happening to me?
You're like, why am I a wise old man now?
Well, yeah, and I was like, yeah, I became,
you stole my joy.
Yeah, something like that. You start to understand the Grinch. You're like, I'm gonna retire on a mountain and hate Christmas.
Okay, on that note, where can people find you?
They can find me at, well, Matt Jones Comedy is pretty much all handles. And then just the Teacher's Lounge Live. All
right.
Podcast. Got a one-man show out there called Harvey and the Magic Box.
Go see Matt if you're anywhere near him. He's so funny, obviously. Likewise. You know that if you're listening. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad, which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it? Crunchy wontons? Asian slaw? Citrus vinaigrette? Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Zenzation Salad, only at Zaxby's.